Well, it's Tuesday at Redeem the Commute, and so today's the day we take a look at our topic that we've been exploring this week, where we find it in the Bible. We've been looking at a very comprehensive teaching of Jesus called the Sermon on the Mount, when he gave a really full and complete view of what it meant to be practicing life in his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, even while we're here on earth. Last week we looked at how Jesus was going to teach about the Old Testament law and prophets, the Old Testament of the Bible. And he said he wasn't here to throw out the law, and he wasn't here to wholeheartedly endorse the way that the scribes and Pharisees, the law teachers of his day, had been teaching the law. He said he was here instead to fulfill the law. We looked at what that meant last week, but today's going to be our first example of that in practice. We'll see six examples in total, but now we see how Jesus relates these teachings to the topic of anger. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, "You've heard it said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." Well, when Jesus tells his first century Jewish followers that they've heard it said to the people of old, he's talking about the law of the Old Testament. It was given by God to Moses. Particularly, you might be familiar with the Ten Commandments, but also the Levitical laws from the book of Leviticus. These were laws that were given by God to the Jewish people as they became a nation, as he taught them what it meant to be his nation, even though it was made up of human beings who turned away from God since the beginning of time. Those laws had been taught through the ages, and between Moses and Jesus, a fair bit of development had gone on, where the teachers of the law, the scribes and Pharisees, had added some new laws, and they had tried to clarify and seek to really specify exactly what these laws meant and where they applied in life. And Jesus' first example is a good one. He says, "You've heard it taught, you shall not murder." Well, the Old Testament law didn't actually say you shall not murder. What the Old Testament's Ten Commandments said was you shall not kill. But clearly there's been some attempt to clarify the law and to specify exactly what kind of killing we're talking about, to reconcile it with the holy wars of the Old Testament, the times when killing was seen to be necessary. And so the teachers of the law had narrowed it down to, well, you shall not murder, and that's a very specific kind of killing. But what Jesus does is he doesn't just simply accept what the scribes and Pharisees have been teaching or throw it out. Instead, he says he's here to fulfill it. He's here to teach it as it was originally meant to be taught. Now, when Jesus says not to even be angry with someone, it might make us think a little bit of the movie Minority Report from a few years ago. It was a dark, dark movie about what would happen if we lived under a government that could read our thoughts, and when we were angry enough with someone to murder them, could intervene before it even happened. It's a wild thought, and you might wonder if that's what Jesus is saying here. Well, if the Sermon on the Mount was just a list of rules, that would be the case. This would be all about an impossible standard for us to maintain. But Jesus is always looking for a heart change as he fulfills the law, and this is a great example of that. Now, murder and anger are very related topics. When you murder somebody, you empty their life from them. You leave them an empty shell. And in many ways, that's what anger does as well. We talked yesterday about road rage. And the way that there's a turning point where another driver ceases to be a person in our eyes and becomes a barrier or a threat to us. And when we get into road rage, we respond to that person as an object rather than a person. What Jesus said here about calling somebody a fool was very related to that. He was saying that when you call somebody a fool, you're saying that they're empty, that they're nothing. The Greek word he used was raka. And it's not a word we have a really exact translation for in today's world, but it definitely has a sense of saying somebody is empty and meaningless. To empty them of their personhood and to say that they're just an object. That doesn't reconcile with what Jesus has been teaching about the kingdom of God and about following him. Jesus, being God, is the creator of every human being on earth, and he finds worth and value in them. And so for us to say in our words or our actions that somebody is empty or meaningless or has no value means we've lost touch with God, because God values every human being he created. Speaking insults against someone, like calling them a fool in Jesus' day, which is a great deal more serious than calling somebody a fool today, may seem rather harmless. But it's very important to God, because we are all important to God. When we undermine somebody's worth, their value, even with our words or our thoughts, it's tantamount to murder, to emptying them of life and meaning. Well, we're going to explore this topic in a little more depth tomorrow and look at Jesus' two illustrations of how his principle of not even being angry with others plays out in real life. But first, I have a question for you to consider, and I'd love for you to share it with somebody who maybe you ride the train or bus with, or somebody from work or your neighborhood. Our question is, even if we have not physically murdered anybody, what are other ways we can destroy people? We'll have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.